everybody's doing good that I know of, and I'm in touch with everybody in the church. Everybody's doing well. So it's good that everybody's doing well. The great part about this is when this all gets done, hopefully, people will appreciate going to the house of the Lord, I believe, and miss everybody, and we're going to have a great time. Reunited and not taking for granted what we have in America that a lot of the world. This is a normal life for most of the world, where they don't want them to meet. They don't want them. Satan doesn't want people meeting. They don't want them learning about the Lord. It's so sad. We have privileges that we don't even realize we have in this world. God takes care of us. He really does. And I'm thankful, very thankful for what all he does. If you open your Bibles at 1 Thessalonians 4 and verse 13, we're going to talk about the next event, I believe, that's going to happen in Jesus, the Lord coming for his church, stepping out. And 1 Thessalonians 4 and verse 13 says, Paul says, "But I would not have ye to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, which ye sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, and with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord." Dear Heavenly Father, as we come before you, Lord, we just thank you for the blessings of our lives. We thank you, Father, for the country we live in, Lord. I just pray, Lord, for all of the ones that are sick, Lord. I pray, Father, for your will to be done. I pray for the world, Lord, to turn to you, Lord. And I pray that there'll be more prayers prayed and more than have ever been in the world that we live in and in the hour that we're in. I pray, Lord, that you have your way. You know, we pray as the Bible comes to life, Lord, that we, as children of God, will be able to witness and reveal it to the world. The ones that haven't read your book, the ones that don't understand what's going on, Father, I pray that we can shed light on it. Help us, Lord, to live for you, love you, and be what we need to be for our Heavenly Father. And if there's one under the sound of my voice that hears this, Lord, and doesn't know you as personal Savior, I pray that they turn their life over to you, Lord, and ask you to be their personal Savior before it's eternally too late. We ask all these things in your Son's precious name. Give thanks to your Father. Amen.
Amen.
Thank God he came at the first time. I praise God for every truth surrounded in the first event. Okay? I praise God for the virgin birth. I praise God for his sinless life. Praise the Lord for his teaching, his miracles, and his ministry. I praise God for his substitutionary death. I praise the Lord for the victorious resurrection. I praise God for his glorious ascension. Okay, the first coming of the Lord into this world was a time of amazing power, wonderful miracles, and a show of love and grace. Now, I thank God for all Jesus accomplished when he came the first time, but he went away. In Acts 1 in verse 9, the first time he was here when he left, we see what happened in Acts 1 in verse 9. "And when he had spoken these things, while they beheld, he was taken up, and the cloud received him out of their sight. And while they looked steadfastly toward heaven as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, which also said, Ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus which is taken up from you into heaven shall so come in like manner as ye have seen him go into heaven." He left them with the promise that he would come again. That's what it is. There is a promise that the angels were making it very clear. If you're standing here, you're seeing him go, but he's promising you that he's going to come back again. Okay? Listen to what he said the night before that he went to the cross in John 14. This is the night before he went to the cross. What he said there. John 14 and verse 1. Let not your heart be troubled. In other words, don't worry. Don't be upset. Calm. That's what the world needs today. Mm-hmm. All of the tragedies and all the things that are happening in the world, just relax. God is in control of the situation. Okay? Let your heart not be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. Let me tell you, it's a promise that wherever you are, you'll be with me, and I'll take care of you. Even down here, you know, in Matthew, it says he has the power of heaven and in earth. I know what the world thinks, that Satan and the sin of this world has the power, but they don't have power over you. Nothing can separate you from the love of God. No matter what happens in this world, there's nothing can separate you from the love of God. So we don't have to worry about that, okay? Even at the end of the Bible, at the book of Revelation closes there in 22 and 20. Look what it says. See, the Lord reaffirms his promise to his people that he will come again. In Revelation, the back of the book, 22 and verse 20. He which testify these things saith, surely I come quickly. Amen. Amen. Even so come, Lord Jesus. Amen. John the Revelator even explained, he's coming, so come, it's going to be all right. Nothing in this world is going to happen to prevent him from coming. You know, well, it might get bad or not. It doesn't matter. He's still coming. He is such a loving and generous God. There is a lot more of these things going to come down the pipe. I like to say that this is it and whatever. Let me tell you something. The only comfort the world has is Christ today.
Amen.
That's the only comfort they have. He says here in the scripture we read for our text, there's no hope in the world. That's why the world is going crazy and getting nervous and scared. They're not scared of what's going on in the world. They're scared of where they're going. Let's get to the root of the problem. You see, people have problems, and they go to the psychiatrist or whatever you want to call it. And they go there, and they say, well, we need to know what disorder you got. There's something wrong. Well, you know what? When they find the core of the disorder, it isn't what is on the surface. That's what's the matter with the world. They want to hope, but they don't want to help in Christ. And there is no other hope. He's very clear. There's no other hope. Okay? In 2 Peter 3, and verse 3. A lot of people have looked at the Lord's promise to come again and have determined that it's a lie. And look at 2 Peter 3 and 3. Knowing this first, that there shall come in the last days scoffers walking after their own lust. Hello. And saying, where is the promise of his coming? For since the Father fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of the creation. Regardless of what the world says or what believers say, the Lord is coming. Mm-hmm. Because he said he's coming. And he can't lie. We believe the Bible. Most of the world say they believe the Bible. If they believe the Bible, you need to believe the whole Bible. When he said he's coming again, he said he is. He says, I'm leaving, I'm coming back in like manner. So he's going to do that. If God can't lie, then look at the Bible and find out there's the truth. Man doesn't want to believe it. Man wants what man wants, and that's it causing a problem. I want to take these verses and want to look at them. Let's examine what it says together about when Jesus is coming. There will be a resurrection. The Thessalonians had heard about the coming of the Lord. See, Paul is telling them this is about the coming of the Lord. This is what he's talking about. They don't understand it. They knew he was coming, but they were confused about the doctrine of the second coming, I believe. They didn't understand it. They're thinking, well, you know what? Everybody that's dead and is asleep, they missed the boat. Because us which are alive. Okay? So they're looking for the coming of the Lord. So if we're looking for him, the people that died already missed the boat. And that's not true. So Paul writes to them to let them know, where is hope for those who've gone on to be with Jesus? He set the record straight, I believe, here. about the saints of God that had already died. In doing so, he gives an encouragement and hope regarding those that believe and are still here in the world and are left this world, okay, in the doorways of death, even though they weren't in the rapture. We haven't had it yet. Paul is telling them about it. Because I'm telling you, from the day Christ left here, they've looked for his return, a child of God, every day since. So I believe every good preacher, every day since that time, is preaching the return of Christ. Because we don't know when it is, because the Bible says we don't know. And we don't, but we know it is, then just preach that it is. And I guarantee you'll get it right if he does come tomorrow. You got it right today if he comes tomorrow. If he comes tonight, we got it right. There's a word about a situation. Asleep and sleep. Okay? Not soul sleep. A sleep of death. Their bodies are asleep, but their spirits are alive.
Okay? Amen.
Sleep implies rest. We know what sleep is. Okay? Asleep and sleep. Sleep is rest. Asleep is in the grave, but the soul is still very much alive. Okay? It's rest. And much is true. And Revelation 14, verse 13. That much is true. The redeemed are resting from the burdens and trials of this life. A child of God, you're a child of God. If you are, there is a lot of things in this life, a lot of burdens in this life that you're going through. So when you die in Christ, your body goes to the grave, your soul goes to be with the Lord, to be absent from the body, to be present with the Lord. So that is a separation there, but it's at rest. It is at rest. You're not burdened anymore. And that's what he's saying. That's you're asleep. You're at rest with the things that you're burdened for. No more. Because once we die, we can change nothing. It's over. We can't change it. If somebody we know is lost, when you die, you better pray that somebody else goes and tells them about Christ. Because let me tell you, friend, you're not coming back to do it. It's over. Okay? Revelation 14 and 13, and I heard a voice from heaven saying, John the Revelator, unto me, write, blessed are the dead which die in the Lord from henceforth. Wow, there's a great one. We're blessed if we die with Christ in our heart. Yea, saith the Spirit, that they may rest from their labors and their works do follow them. Now, and why we know that is important is in Revelation there 21, going over to 21 and 4. Revelation 21 and 4, and God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow, nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. Passed away is removed. It's gone. Okay? All your burdens are gone. You might hurt and have a heartache all the way through this life. You know what? And I believe there's pain and suffering all the way through a child of God's life. Why? I don't have pain and suffering for me. But I do for all the people that I know that are lost. And I believe that was Christ on Calvary. That's a picture of you being a child of God. You know you're a child of God when your heart aches for somebody else going to hell.
Right.
You know that you've been born again. Whenever it eats you up that somebody's using the Lord's name in vain and you can't reach them and you know they're doing wrong. So instead of being upset at them and saying, you know what, I'm going to heaven, I don't care if he goes to hell, that attitude goes out the window and you have one, Lord, I pray for their soul as Stephen did. Don't hold this to their charge. It's a sin to do what they did. He told them, don't hold the sin. That's his very words were, don't hold the sin to their charge. When they stoned him, and he was just telling them, they didn't know what they were doing. Today they know what they were doing to Stephen. They didn't then. There's a word about a location in verse 14. See, Paul tells us that God will bring the dead in Christ with him when he comes. Mm-hmm. Wow. What a reunion in there. If he is going to bring them with him, then they must be with him ahead of his coming. Think of that. 2 Corinthians 5 and 8. We are confident. We're sure. Okay? Be confident. We are confident, I say, and willing rather to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord. Be confident when we leave here that that's where we're going to be as a child of God. In Philippians 1 and verse 20. Philippians 1 and 20, on the same line. According to my earnest expectation and my hope, that in nothing I shall be ashamed, but that with all boldness, as always, so now also Christ shall be magnified in my body, whether it be my life or my death. For to me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. But if I live in the flesh, this is the fruit of my labor. Yet what I shall choose, I want not. For I am in a strait between two, having a desire to depart and to be with Christ, which is far better. Nevertheless, to abide in the flesh is more needful for you. I have, in 2 Peter 1 and verse 14, New Testament, 2 Peter 1, 14, knowing that shortly I must put off this, my tabernacle, even as our Lord Jesus Christ hath showed me. There is times when this life gets tough, and I think about people that are not living for the Lord, and they're not under, they're just wanting God to take care of everything. Why don't God fix this? Why don't God fix it? Do you know what? He could never do enough. If he fixed the dilemma we got in the world today, there would be another one, and you'd be praying and asking for another one. When people put him first in their life, everything will be all right. And you will have burdens for other people. Okay? It will be selective. See, it will be, he will be a rescuer, and it will be a selective one. We said we, Jesus, isn't coming for everyone. See, we. Neither we are caught up, but he's talking to the church. He's talking to the saved children of God. He's coming only for those who have been saved by the grace of God. Many will expect to go. I know they will. But they will not make that trip, I guarantee you. Many think they're going to go, and they're not. Matthew 7:21. Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven. But he that doeth the will of my Father which is sit in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? And in thy name have cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works. Now, many are going to say to the Lord, I want to go, but he's going to say, he that doeth the will of my Father, which is sent in heaven. Who? The ones that are saved are doing God's will on earth. They're spreading the gospel. They're doing the Great Commission. They're telling people. They're telling your grandchildren and your children and your neighbors about God. You're standing at work, and knowing that you're standing for Christ and people are seeing what you do in your life. That's standing for God. Those people are his children because their fruit even shows it. I'll tell you what, you can go around the world today and just ask friends and loved ones of people that say they're Christians, and they'll find out if they truly are, I think. Even a lost person knows who is a child of God and who ain't. They know, oh, be careful with that one. They'll be talking about God. They'll be dodging you. The world knows. It is to be serious. The rapture, I believe, will be serious because only the redeemed will go. Oh, I can't imagine in a twinkling of an eye the world changing way more than it did with the virus. Let me tell you, this world is going to be shocked whenever it looks around and the population aren't dying, they're gone. That's the power of God. They're going to know that what happened. They're going to know it, believe me. Everyone else will be left behind to face the horrors of the tribulation. We know that, okay? Be sure you're ready because he is coming. In Matthew 28 Matthew 24, 44. Therefore be ye also ready, for in such an hour as ye think not, the Son of Man cometh. Let me tell you, are we not there today? I mean, the world is not leaning to Christ today. This epidemic goes away here in a little while, and everybody's going to go back to eat, sleep, and be merry. I guarantee you, they're going to go right back. Forgot what happened. We're going right back to the old thing. Right back to the sinful world that we had before. Breaks my heart to see. I see it. Don't know what you can do about it, but tell them and warn them. You know what? That's what will happen when the rapture takes place. People are gone. Epidemic. It's going to be crazy for a week or two. But the world is saying we'll go on like we escaped it. Satan's going to tell them they won. We got rid of all of them. They're gone. We don't have to worry about it. Tell you, it's not going to be. It will be sensational. The very language of the verse rings with excitement. I believe it is a verse of action, adventure. The Lord is pictured entering the very domain that Satan has. And he's gathering up his church and his bride and taking them out. Ephesians 2, verse 2. Where in time past ye walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. Yeah. The rapture, it's basically a military invasion. What's going to happen? Jesus attacks Satan on his own territory, calls his wife out, the meaning, and proves his absolute dominion over Satan. The power of Satan for the first time will be here. Satan can't keep you and I here. I'm telling you, the rapture, he's coming to get him no matter what Satan does.
Right.
He might have it. He's running loose here on the world that we live in, and he's doing whatever he wants. But I'm telling you, when God says this is what's going to happen, it's going to happen exactly like he said. That's the power that you're going to see of the God that I'm talking about this morning. By the way, the Lord sent an angel to announce his birth. He sent an angel for his resurrection. The Lord sent the Holy Spirit to convict us and draw us to Christ. But when it comes to collecting his bride, he's coming himself, the Bible says.
Amen.
We'll meet the saints. There'll be a reunion too. Caught up together with them. Multitudes have gone on to be with the Lord. We miss them now because we can't see them. I know a lot of loved ones. I think about them and I wonder what they're doing. I always think, what's mom and dad doing? I have a grandma and a grandpa on one side. You know what? And Satan's got the whole world believing everybody's there. Everybody. Go talk to anybody you want. Everybody's there. Read the obituaries. Everybody goes to heaven. They got good seats. Everybody's got a good seat. I got news. If this Bible is true and you believe it's true, believe it all. Not all are going. I'm telling you, it's a lie straight from hell that heaven is going to let lost people in. Sin, God could not look upon it when he was on earth. He couldn't have it around him. It is not going to enter into heaven.
Right.
I guarantee you. You're not going to heaven to be judged. Heard that said to me once. We're going to get up there, we'll get to heaven, and then we'll be judged, and we'll decide what we're going to do. The judgment's done. He's already passed judgment on this world. I'm telling you, it ain't going to happen. We'll meet the Savior. So shall we ever be with the Lord. Man, while it excites us to think about seeing our Lord again, what thrills my heart is the knowledge one day I'll see Jesus. I'll see the one who loved me more than he loved his own life because he came for me. That's what excites me. I'll see the one who died for me on that cross. I'll see my Redeemer. The friend who stuck closer than a brother to see in Revelation 22 and verse 4. I'll see the crucified risen Savior. I'll see him there. In Revelation 22 and verse 4. And they shall see his face. What a promise. John the Revelator is writing down the truth. This actually is it. And his name shall be in their foreheads. Look at Job. What Job said. 19. Very important Job in the resurrection. Job 19 and verse 25. For I know that my Redeemer liveth, and that he shall stand at the latter day upon the earth. And now after my skin worms destroy this body, yet in the flesh shall I see God. He's going to see him in the flesh. Whom I shall see for myself, that mine eyes shall behold, and not another, though my reins be consumed within me. Let me tell you, surely we can rejoice in that. Job said he's going to see him. Now, people that don't believe God's going to return here, you got another thing coming. He's going to return. Job said, I'll see him in the flesh on the earth. Right. So he's coming back again. It's the second coming, but he will come and put his foot down. When Jesus comes, we're going home. When Jesus comes, all the pain, sorrow, separation, suffering, and sin, heartaches will end immediately. Man, if he came today, it's going to stop immediately. We're going to heaven. I can't imagine not having pain and suffering and worry. And I believe the same as John, really. I pray that I have this whole last week come quickly, Lord. If they make a decision, and if there's one that hasn't made a decision, send them to me or let me go to them so they can make their decision. Because when the last decision is made, he's coming. He's not leaving anybody out. I say with John, even so, come, Lord Jesus. If we truly believe that Jesus is coming, we should be engaged in a couple of activities, I believe. In closing, we should be looking for him. 2 Timothy 4, verse 8. Should be looking. Henceforth, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not to me only, but unto all them also that love his appearing. 1 John 3 and verse 3. We should be living like when he might come at any time. And every man that hath hid this hope in him, purify himself, even as he is pure. And last, Mark 16:15. We should be loving the lost and preaching that gospel. Mark 16:15. And he said unto them, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He's coming. Are you going? If you're rejoicing and praising him, if not, we need to be saved. We need to be saved. He wants this world to be saved. He's done everything. There's going to be more pestilence. There's going to be more things happening in this world to get the world's attention. He's trying to drive his sheep closer to him, the lost to salvation, and that's what happened in the world. He's given every opportunity to this world to turn around. Nobody's going to hell without having to say no to God before they do. There's no way. He's had all these things that are happening, and he's there waiting. And the gospel, as long as the Holy Spirit's still here, and it hasn't left out of here, you can still be saved. And I pray that this world gets saved for what they're lacking in that salvation. The ones that are backslidden, I pray that this turns them around and the churches are filled when this is over. They're either going to run from God, they're going to get happy and comfortable staying away from church and stay home, or they're going to be moved and get excited to get back and start serving God. We'll see what happens at the end of this as we stand. Dear Heavenly Father, as we come before you, Lord, I just pray for your word to go out with free course. I pray, Lord, that ones that hear your word, Lord, and they're touched, I pray, Father, that they'll pray that sinner's prayer. And I pray that the Holy Spirit will touch their hearts, Lord, and draw them. They can't be saved without the drawing of the Holy Spirit. And I pray that your word will draw. They'll see the condition that they're in, Father, and they will choose you and live. And I pray, Father, for the backslidden ones that hear the message, Lord, I just pray, Father, that the next time that they can get on their knees and they can get their heart right with you, they'll do so, Lord. I pray, Father, for the forgiveness of their sins and shortcomings. Pray for all of your churches to come together, Lord, and lift you up in a mighty way. Lord, there's no greater time for salvation is needed than now in the world we live in. Help us to be the witness we need to be. Give us the words. We ask all these things in your Son's precious name. Give thanks to you, Father. Amen.